it worked, Scott. Because I'll tell you something, I probably would have declined the offer if you hadn't have said he could come too, or he had to come too. I'm actually really, it is so refreshing to be here. I mean, I just felt from the second we got out of the car, I was telling Jeannie that we've talked about coming to this retreat every year since we left, but something always comes up, you know, there's always something. So it was really good this year to like not be able to make an excuse or not have something conflict, like we had to be here, because it's never good timing, right? Like it's never a great time to go away for a weekend. And so it wasn't a great time for us, just to be honest, but it's meant to be, right? Like it's where we're supposed to be. And this is where you're supposed to be too. So I'm so happy to be here. So Casey and I were here, we were adding it up 5 years ago, which time is weird, right? Like sometimes it feels like yesterday we were here and sometimes it feels like we were never here. So it's been fun to kind of reminisce of what we've been talking about, what we want to share with you this weekend, and just really missing so many of you. So it's really fun to be back. You know, when we came here to GRX for the first time, Eugene, our oldest son, he was one. And I was super pregnant with a 10-pound Theo. I vividly remember first day visiting and just feeling totally out of place. And so it's just amazing to think that so long ago. So there, if you see them out there, they're 8 and 9 now. Well, Theo's 8 in next month. Yeah, 8 and 9. And they're gigantic. They're huge. They're like adult people. I don't know. But when we came to GRX, Casey, were you just finishing your PhD or you were just finished? Anyway, he was at the very end of that. I was finishing a master's in education. We were very crazy in our own sort of life plan and everything. And that's when we came to GRX. So it's really cool because GRX will always have this memory in our heart as like the place where it was like our first church experience as a family. Really special. I don't know if you guys, maybe GRX was that for you once you had kids were part of a church, but GRX was that for us. And that's really special. Actually, I remember when Eugene turned 3. Was anybody there for this? I went to go pick up Eugene from his kids' own class, and he was like, "Mom, did you know that I'm an Asian?" Do you remember? Jen's not here, but Jen was there for it. I don't know if you were Terrence. And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "The kids are telling me I'm not Asian, but I am." And I said, "You are. You totally are." So I know. So I love that he's grown up with that. GRX is also the place where my passion for children's ministry started. I didn't know that passion was there, obviously, until I met Jen, Terrence, and Jeannie. And I started serving in kids' ministry here when I was trying to drop my kids off, and every single week, my kids, like, screamed the entire hour. So finally, you know, I think it was, like, 4 months in, I was in work, stayed with my kids the whole service. Jen was like, "Hey, you know, if you get fingerprinted, you could actually get on the volunteer list." And I was like, "Okay." Anyway, so I fell in love with children's ministry. And actually, when we moved to Hillmar, it was totally unplanned and unintended. But they had a small handful of kids and absolutely nothing for them at Hillmar Covenant Church. And so how could I come from GRX with, like, the best kids ministry on the planet and take my kids there? And so it was kind of just a natural place for me to dive in, which I did, and developed a kids ministry program with the help of Jesus and Jen. And it's still not like this, but it is amazing, and it's actually the reason that a lot of people come to our church as well. And actually, totally amazing is that I've had the opportunity to work with the Covenant on a larger scale. So I've been back and forth to Chicago, go to Midwinter every year, and do a couple of seminars and on Power Play. And every time I do, and every time I'm given that venue, I always feel like fake. And I always start with, "There's this girl." None of you know her, but her name's Jen Ching. And everything I'm telling you today comes from her, not me. So, and you guys are lucky to have the team that you do serving your kids here, and you know that. But I think our church is blessed because of GRX, because of what God gave me through you guys to take to Hillmar and to take to the covenant at large as well. So super excited about that. What else did I want to share with you? It's also where Casey really became who he is. Again, thanks to Jen, Terrence, and Jeannie. I think that they were friends to him, and they were great ministry partners, and really did make him the pastor that he is today, which is amazing. Tomorrow, he's going to share with you guys a little bit about our context at Hillmar Covenant Church, so I'm not going to say much more about that tonight. But what else? Just a slight thing that you might find interesting, I don't know, is I'm actually not working in our kids' ministry full-time now. We have other people doing that. Within 4 days of school starting last year, the superintendent of schools in the town that we live in called me, and I didn't know her, and she said, I heard from a bird that you are sitting on a teaching credential with a master's degree, and you're not in the classroom. And I said, no, because I work at a church. And she said, because we don't have a third grade teacher, and I need one tomorrow. So I'd been praying about it for a while, so it was just meant to be. So I'm actually in the classroom full-time as a third grade teacher this year. 2 more weeks, and I wrap up my school year. And I got to say, ministry is a hard job, but teaching in a public school is a hard job. So either way, it's a hard job. My boys go to the school that I teach at. They're actually in a dual immersion program, so if anyone knows Spanish, they're fully bilingual and biliterate in Spanish and English, so that's kind of a fun fact about my children. You wouldn't expect it with their blonde hair and blue eyes, but I'm very proud of them. Our life on a typical day is insanity. Like, I'm not going to lie, and I know your guys' is too, but really, really insane. Theo and Eugene both do jujitsu. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. 3 days a week after school. Eugene plays baseball 2 to 3 days a week after school. Theo does not want to play anything, and so he loves art and coloring and reading, and he's just very music. We love he doesn't fit in our family, so it's... So we struggle with how to parent him, but we love him. Casey is a crazy CrossFit guy. He goes 5 nights a week. I go a couple nights a week. We're obviously pastors of church. I am super involved in the community and our school. So it's just insanity on a typical day. Casey, trying to think of a way that we could really connect with you. We want to open ourselves up this weekend. And so we were thinking, and luckily I totally saved you guys from like 111 terrible ideas that he had. So he has like these crazy, I'm like, what are you talking about? No. So we finally had this idea. Let's invite you into our home. We love our home. God totally blessed us with our home. Over in Sunnyvale, we were paying like $20 a month for this little tiny apartment. We have like the home that we is beyond our dreams, and I think our mortgage is like $1,200 a month. It's crazy. I know. On a quarter acre, it's amazing. But no one ever comes to see us there except for Kim. Kim comes to see us there, and we love it every time. She even has her own bedroom. It's just amazing. So anyway, we have a little video, and it's not a great video because we're not great at stuff, but welcome to our perfect home.
Okay, it's 5:15 in the morning, and I'm on my way for a run. Not that I love running, because I absolutely hate running, but because I have 2 friends that I would not be friends with if I didn't run, because there's no other time to be friends except for at 5:15 in the morning. That's why. Casey, remember those people are coming over tonight. Can you have the boys pick up, when they wake up, pick up those little tiny Legos in the living room? Because they have, that family has babies, and I don't want them to pick them up. Put them in their mouth. Also, I forgot to make lunches last night. I was swamped. Could you go down and just start putting something together? We don't have any coffee. When I get back from my run, I'll run and grab a bag at Starbucks. How was that concert? When did you go to that? Was that 3 days ago you went to that concert? Have we not seen each other in 3 days? Okay, anyway, I'll be back.
All right, guys, it's time to wake up. Theo.
I'm shaking.
Gotta wake up, buddy.
No.
Yeah.
Go away.
Buddy. Theo, get out of bed. What?
Nothing.
What did you call me?
Nothing.
Tell me. Okay, let's get a shot here of this mess. I don't even understand when my kids play with these things. Because I don't think I see them play with them. But one of the things we have an abundance of in our house is Pokemon cards. And stuffed animals. There's more stuffed animals. More stuffed animals. And we have lots of dirty clothes. That's not just in the kids' room, though. It's mostly me. But, yep, more stuffed animals. Stuffies. Whew. Yep, Pokemon cards and stuffies. And you get a shot of the Legos. Those aren't Pokemon cards. It's like all these toys are crying out, put me away. Legos. The lucky thing is that these Legos are mostly up on shelves right now. Let's see. Well, this is all of our jiu-jitsu clothes. I think they've been dumped out of their gym bag to make room for the catcher's equipment that's in the gym bag. But there's our cleats. Yeah. So there you go. There's Sarah's stuff. Notice that Sarah's stuff is all packed into one box in one place. So let's take a look at that. This area of the garage is my workshop. And you can just tell I have too much stuff. Too much stuff in my life for the space that I have. These are all, this is all wood that I'm working on for an outdoor project that I've been working on forever. There we go, some lights. All that, I just stained it and finished it with some poly. This is my workspace. It's actually much cleaner than usual at the moment. There's my old coffee with dead flies in it.
Okay, guys, we're gonna look at Casey for a second. He's gonna be on your project, so what are we gonna say?
Just say hi.
Hi!
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, this is the boys' bedroom closet. All their technology and stuffies. Toys. And, I mean, they did just have friends over, so it was a little extra messy. But, you know, I mean, does this ring a bell with anybody? Like, stuff, kitchen counter, sports equipment, craziness, all of my schoolwork spread across the kitchen table, toys everywhere. We super limit our kids' technology, so I try not to freak out about toys because at least they're playing with toys. But, like, sometimes it's just a little crazy. So, that's our perfect life and our perfect house. And now I feel really exposed. We are totally put together all the time. No, we're not. We're not. We're messy people. But actually, I'm not that. It's not me. I'm not that messy. But honestly, we've been together 20 years, and now I live with three boys, so I've totally given up. In fact, if you follow me on Instagram, I'm like hashtag outnumbered by boys because I don't stand a chance. And I have quick proof. We're going to get into this in a second, but I have a quick audio proof of my mother, and this like literally just happened.
Good morning, darling. I just wanted to touch base with you. I know you were saying the other day that your house was really a mess and you were just kind of tired of it. But I wanted to remind you not to be too hard on the boys, because remember when Casey was gone those 3 weeks and how clean your house was? I came over several times. You and the boys were there. Never a mess. Always everything in order. No dishes around. Well, that's because your husband was gone. He was gone for 3 weeks. So as you're cleaning your house, just remember your boys are good boys. Your husband needs a talking to. All right? I love you, darling. Have a good day. Bye.
No lie. This was after the was chosen. The theme was chosen. So anyway, I just thought I would share that. But guys, tonight, I hope that we've all left those messes behind. I did try to clean my house before we came, but that was another story. But we really want to walk with you this weekend through the messiness of life, because it's not just the physical chaos, is it? It's the chaos that's inside of us, that's in our hearts, in our minds, in who we are. It's more than that. And Casey and I thought and we prayed, and we actually gone away for a couple of nights, just he and I together, just to talk about what we want to share with you. And the reality is that in our almost 20 years together, our life together has not been entirely neat, clean, or perfect. We've walked a journey that's been very, very messy. We've been married, and we've been buried in our mess. Many, many times, and many, many times this close to being totally overcome. In this weekend, as we share our story, and as we sort of share pieces of our life, we hope that it lands in a safe place with you. And we hope that maybe in that together, we can witness God's faithfulness, not just in our life and in our mess, but in yours as well. So Casey's just going to share for a couple of minutes.
You feel exposed. I just wanted to say at the outset that, you know, I think Terrence budgeted us 20 to 25 minutes tonight, and we're going to go just a little bit over, but that's Sarah's fault. So, you know, what I want to say is just the fact that life has always been a mess. Always. Not just my life and not just your life, but life from the very beginning has been a mess. Think about the story that we are in. The story from the very beginning. If you look back over the whole of God's story, you can see it clearly that the story is a story of messes. The story begins in chaos. When you go back to Genesis chapter 1 in the first verses, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The story begins formless and void in chaos. And then existence is momentarily lifted into order and peace as you see the story of the creation and God making a garden just for us. When we read the story of the garden, we have this image of the world free from messiness. Each day, Adam and Eve wake up to a new and sparkling world. Each and every day, there is dew glistening on newly invented grass. And every single day, the sun rises over a newly imagined horizon that explodes with literally never-before-seen colors. We think of this time in the garden in terms of things that we don't like. We tend to think of the garden as this perfect time where there probably wasn't things like conflict or pain or spiders and mosquitoes, because we don't like those things, and how could those things exist in the perfect world? But I tend to think that the dawn of creation actually contained those things. I mean, it is odd for me to think that there is no conflict between Adam and Eve as they're contemplating eating the fruit. It's unlikely to me that when Adam stubbed his toe or stepped on a Lego, he didn't shout in pain. And as much as we hate them, I have to think that spiders and mosquitoes are just as much a part of God's purposeful creation as you and me. There is only one thing that we know was absent in the garden, and that's without sin, you have the absence. And so in God's presence, if there was conflict or pain or mosquitoes in the garden, there are no messes because God is present. There is no distance from God at this point in our story. Time at this point marked not so much by the absence of things that we don't like, but by the presence of God. The presence of God through whatever would come. But that's the thing, is that that presence is so short-lived in the Bible. It's like one chapter. It's half a chapter. Genesis chapter 3, right? I mean, chapter 2, you have the creation of man and woman, and then chapter 3, it all falls apart. Adam and Eve, they evict their creator as God evicts them from the garden. From the moment that they walk out of the garden until now, time is marked by a reversal of absence and presence. God is now absent in the way that he once was. He's at arm's length. Sin is now present, and with it, the messes that we make of it. And the chaos of creation re-enters the world, this time with us present. The thing is that the story from the moment that we are expelled from the garden is a story of one mess after another. Adam against God and are kicked out of the garden, and they can't in because God puts an angel with a sword in front of the gate. No way back. They have children, Cain and Abel, where Cain kills Abel. First children in the Bible give into murder. You have Noah, and the flood. The world is so messed up that God has to start over with this one family, or Abraham, this controversy over Ishmael, and Sarah and Hagar, and the pain that comes from that. You have Jacob and Esau, and Jacob trying to steal the blessing and push forward God's promise in the story. By his own means and his own deceit, he's trying to gain the blessing of God. And then you have the conflict, the mess of Israel and Egypt, And then when God gives them grace, the conflict between Israel and God, first in the desert, then with their kings, and finally in exile. The story from the beginning is a story of messes. And then Jesus comes to remove our sin, which is the cause of all of our messes. And he comes to restore the presence of God with us. But even then, yet we wait for our sin to be fully disposed of. We wait for that moment when the garden is restored and we live once again with God. Just as nearly every step that you take on a dairy, and I know this because now I spend time on dairies and around dairies, every step that you take on a dairy is marked by manure. Every step along our journey has been marked by mess. It's not limited to the story that we read in Scripture either. It's a quality of the story on the whole. I mean, I look at, you guys watch the news? Have you watched the news in the last week? The chaos that surrounds us in the world, it presses in upon us. It presses in upon us as we experience our families, Legos on the floor, Pokemon cards everywhere, laundry overflowing the laundry room, dishes in the sink, coffee cups with flies in them. That coffee cup's still there, by the way, in the same exact place. I'm sure there's a few more flies and probably some mold growing on the top of the coffee. Yeah. It's my workshop. I can do what I want. But the fact is that messiness is as much a part of life as anything else is. It is part of the fabric of the story. It is the thing that we entered into when we left the garden. It is the thing that Christ comes to save us from. And it is the messiness of our world that will be fully put to rights when Christ comes again. And so out of all of this, this weekend, Sarah and I want to ask two questions. Just two questions. The first is, how can I trust God in the middle of the mess? Because the mess ends. There may be times of reprieve. How do you trust God in the middle of the mess? And then how can we trust with our messiness? Can we stand in front of each other and say, dude, this in my life is screwed up? The idea of an unmessy life is a fiction from the beginning of the story to the end. So how do we walk through the mess? How do we trust God in the mess? Because more often than not, our messes consist of way more than stuffies and Legos and Pokemon cards. This last fall, I just want to share this with you. This last fall, I found myself in a huge mess. I just want you to know, if you don't know this, pastors deal with messes all the time, and they're not always our own messes, okay? We deal with, that's our calling, is to interface with the mess all the time. Last fall, my youth and worship pastor, who was an excellent youth and worship pastor, his life and his marriage imploded in like one day. Of course, messes never happen in one day. Lots of stuff build up to implosions. But the meltdown was very real and very explosive and very quick. In the aftermath of that, he left the church and very suddenly, in the aftermath of that, And the thing was, he was my friend. He was my very good friend. And through all of this, there was a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. Sometimes what I like to do is I like to drive to Santa Cruz for the day, and I work on my sermon, and I sit at the beach, and I pray. I pray for my church. And that day, I just wept. I just, like, if anybody would sit next to me on the bench at Capitola, they wouldn't sit next to me because it was just weird. I mean, I was sobbing because I lost my friend, because the church was a mess because of this. And I prayed and I prayed, and God reminded me of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Set the Melchizedek stuff aside, and even the high priest and the curtain stuff. And I was just struck that we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. I sat there and I wept and I said, I have to remember this. I have to always remember this. So I got my phone and I looked at Yelp. I know, it's Yelp. And I found the nearest tattoo shop. And I went straight there and I said, hey, can you do an anchor, like, right now, before I change my mind? And she did. And, I always want to remember that, because the messes, they come and they're present. And I don't want to forget that even though creation is marked by God at arm's length, he still walks through the messes with us. And that is encouraging. Sarah, did you want to conclude us tonight?
So as we close, we really just want to remind you of those two questions. But these are questions that we've been sitting on for a while. But maybe you guys can start just thinking about them tonight. And the first is, how can we trust God in our mess? And how can we trust each other with our messes? And I love that idea, that sort of vision of Jesus as this sure and steadfast anchor, especially when we're going into a weekend where hopefully you guys are getting the hint that we're going to ask you to think about your life and to really reflect on what God's doing and to really sort of be open to looking at the mess that might exist in your life right now. But as you look at that, and as you think about that tonight, also don't forget that anchor, because that's sort of the answer. That's where we're going. We're going to explore why that's so amazing and why it's so important over the next couple days. That's the end goal, and we're excited to go there with you. So as we further explore this, by Sunday, we're all going to cars and go back to those messes encouraged, equipped, engaged, connected to the anchor, connected to one another, with the hope that we will not be overcome. So tomorrow, Casey's going to share a bit of his story. Tomorrow night, I'm going to share a bit of mine. In between, let's share among us. Can I pray? God, thank you so much for sending your son, knowing that these messes would be with us always. But thank you for sending your son as our sure and steadfast. God, help us to never forget that. Work in our hearts tonight as we leave this place, and show us, Lord, what you might be stirring up and what you might be revealing. And help us to be open to touching those places and not closing the door and pretending like we're perfect, but trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen.